We'd like to ask about something from the Vinaya, which we've been reading and discussing with friends. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this part from the Charyapitaka about the order turning over the bowl of the layperson, in this case, Lichavivada's bowl, after he made false accusations about a monk. He accused a monk of having sexual intercourse with his wife, and this caused problems. And so then the Buddha told the monks to turn over the bowl of the householder and impose non-eating with the monks. Are you familiar with this?
So the question is...
So the question is, what exactly is meant by the upturning of the bowl of the layperson? Because the way it's interpreted is that it means actually the monks turn over their bowls, like the monks in Burma. If a layperson breaks one of 10 rules, such as abusing the Sangha or spreading bad rumors or something, in the Vinaya it says that the monks then determine to turn over the bowl of the household and impose non-eating the bhikkhus, meaning they won't take alms from the lay person, for example. And the way that it's interpreted is that this means, oh, the bhikkhus turn over their bowls. Do you have any comments?
I think that that's completely explained. Explanation. It's the complete explanation. What's the behavior of monk should be. And lay people too.
Just showing how they each should behave. Yes. Do you have any further questions on that?
Yes. In the Vinaya passage, it talks about the turning over of the lay person's bowl, but doesn't mention the monks turning their bowl over. So where does that come from?
If the monk behaves badly, what should we do? And if we behave not good to the monk with ill intention, what should the monk do to that particular one?
If we behave badly to the monk,
what
then according
the monk
to
do?
The sutta passage, the Vinaya passage, they declare the lay follower's bowl should be turned over.
Mm-hmm. Is that not right?
Yes.
What exactly does it mean to declare the lay person's bowl?
Because that person behaved so badly to the Sangha.
Yes.
So he can no longer, it means the monks can no longer take arms in his house.
To help that person to feel or to realize that what he did was wrong.
It's inappropriate, so they can no longer accept arms from him.
Yes. So one should know what one has done.
Yes.
Right. But what is the origin of the monk turning over the monk's bowl to the lay person?
I think that in the old days, people who just want the monks not to be unified and be good monk, they were separated into many parties too in the old days. So if you like Sariputta or if you don't like this and that, what would you do to these monks?
Mm-hmm. Cause trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So then anyway, we can see, okay, if the layperson behaves inappropriately to the monks, then the monks turn over the layperson's bowl. It means that the layperson has to learn their lesson by not associating with the monks. And is... For example, in Myanmar, where the monks turn over their own bowls so as not to accept alms, is this a valid interpretation of this?
And you don't feel that you have done something bad at all? So the monk would do that to you?
Well, for example, in Burma, where the monks feel that
what about the teachings not only in Burma? Mm.
Okay, so if generally the Sangha determines that a lay person or some lay people have behaved inappropriately to the Sangha. So in the text it talks about the phrase turning over the bowl of the monk, of the lay person, patam nikujatu, of the lay person. And so if the monks themselves turn over their own bowls and refuse to accept alms from the lay people who they have determined have behaved wrongly, is that
interpretation?
Well, it seems possible interpretation, yes, so because it doesn't actually... I mean, the way people read this is they say it is the turning over of the monk's bowl, but actually in the text it's the turning over the layperson's bowl.
Do we have bowl?
The layperson doesn't
have bowl. We are lay people. Do we have bowl?
No. So it's just a symbolic thing, meaning that it's turning over the right of the lay person to associate or give alms.
I think that the teachings is to be studied carefully and really understand what Buddha meant.
Yes.
Otherwise, we'll have one's own idea about the word.
Yes.
Okay. And it doesn't agree with what the teaching is.
Yes. Yes.
Well, this is why I asked the question about the origin of the practice by the monks to try and...
What part of the Vinaya?
Chulavaga.
Chulavaga.
20, number 5.
Is this problem or question?
Not, it's just a question. It's... We had quite a lot of discussions before on space and the two kinds of space, and I've written quite a lot, and of course people find it very difficult. Now, the following was something that you said, and when I was writing out some of my notes, and there was some confusion about this. You said, think about there's nothing, completely nothing at all, and then there arise the rupas, the four elementary rupas and the rest. But before that, nothing, and that is real, and it's akasa. When you say that, do you mean that if there were nothing, then there wouldn't be the akasa? Or what do you mean when you say that nothing is real?
Shall we talk about the two kinds of akasa? One is the conditioned, the one is unconditioned.
Yes.
When there is no rupa at all arising, is that unconditioned or conditioned?
Unconditioned. Yes.
But when the groups of Mahabhuta rupa are conditioned to arise, is there no space in between?
Yes.
So that space is conditioned or unconditioned?
Conditioned.
That's
yeah.
all.
Yeah. So when you say when there's nothing, you mean when there is, by nothing you mean when there are no conditioned rupas arising?
For kalapas. Rupas to arise. Like now.
Yeah.
See?
Although in the air,
it doesn't matter at all.
But
just
there,
keep
there are
on.
Some conditioned rupas arising.
Whenever kalapas arises in groups, the space in between is the
conditioned.
Right. Yeah, that's all.
And then you said, what I mean is that if there is nothing at all, is there a kasa? When we talk about nothing, not
all.
Nothing. Okay. I mean that if there is nothing at all, is there a kasa? So what you're saying is by nothing, nothing you mean no kalapas.
Because it's akasa when there's nothing at all.
Okay. How can we say that it's nothing when it is akasa, even if it is the unconditioned one? Because it's a reality, it's still a rupa, so how
because
can we...
Because it's not the Mahabhuta rupa. This is about the ความบาป.
Okay, turning over the body.
One reason I raised it about the turning over the bowls was because it seems quite a valid interpretation of the sense for the monks to determine if the lay persons have abused the Sangha to refuse to accept the alms. But once before, when talking about, for example, the Burmese monks doing this,
what did they do?
Turn over their bowls.
So good that we didn't have to.
To refuse to take the alms from the army, from the
so soldiers. We don't have to give them anything.
Right. No, so that the military don't have to give them anything. They just refuse to take alms from the soldiers in Burma because they said the soldiers.
Politics,
because they said the soldiers had abused the Sangha.
That is not here at all.
Right.
Because
that is their interpretation, but you don't agree.
But I don't know what the military did.
Mm. So there's two issues. Yeah. There's one, the
rightly,
the grounds,
wrongly, yeah.
And then there's the action. So
whether the action is appropriate.
I think that just complicates it a bit to bring in that instance. But
well, the reason I brought that in is because once before when we were in India, you were suggesting that the behavior of the monks like this was inappropriate and not according to the Vinaya, because in the Vinaya, I mean, what I understood from your comments, there was nothing about the bhikkhus turning over their bowls and refusing to accept alms from certain people.
Who did what?
Who are, according to them, who abused the Sangha, spoke harshly about the Sangha, for example.
Those who blame Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha.
Right, so they blame the Sangha, yes. Uh-huh. So they would say, okay, this
what
is according to the
Sangha. Not the military people?
Then they accept their arms.
Because you see that, and what about the individual army, soldier?
Yes. Well, of course they can't know about each individual, so they're just deciding the...
So that's wrong, I think. I
right,
think that's wrong.
Right.
The thing is, there has to have been a meeting of the order. Yeah.
Well, they'd had their meeting and determined that because the military en masse had spoken wrongly about the Sangha, they determined that they were not going to accept alms from the military, and that this is according to...
So the soldier can give alms individually,
yes.
No matter at all.
So you think that to do it en masse would be questionable?
I don't know about the Sangha in Burma, about their behavior. So for me, I think that the monks who do not follow the Vinaya, we shouldn't give alms. Mm. It's like giving things to robber or Mahajora. Because they do not follow the teachings. In the opposite way, they are destroying the teachings.
Well, just by the marching or being involved in politics.
No, not marching in politics. Just their daily behavior.
Daily behavior. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Because usually they go to the movies and buy things and things like that.
Well, I think that in Burma, I think that there are monks who actually follow very good Vinaya, maybe more so than in Thailand.
I don't know, because if they do not understand the teachings, how can they follow sincerely, truthfully?
Well, they study the Abhidhamma, and
they can
study Pali, and they can recite
the whole Tipitaka.
Yes.
But what about the understanding?
So, getting back to the question of whether it's the lay person bowl or the monk's bowl that gets turned over, is there anything about that?
Yeah, I think it doesn't matter. No. You would say it doesn't matter.
It depends on following Vinaya and to understand the teaching the right way to behave.
Right. But if the Vinaya doesn't mention about the monks turning their bowl over.
The monks?
Yeah. Turning the monk's bowl over.
When the... Yeah.
Does it, is it there?
Yeah. Prince someone, Watta Lichwe.
Yes.
Okay. Accused Tapa Malabuddha.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then?
So the monks...
Does it say that? Over.
Yeah.
Because in English it doesn't say
because
that.
Because there are eight... factors.
I know about the eight factors, but I want to
know
about...
So it's Vinaya.
Yes, but whose bowl is it turned over? The monk's or the lay person's bowl?
The lay people do not have bowl.
Well, in the English it says it's the lay person's bowl that gets turned over.
And it says it's so Father Lichwe's bowl that is turned over. Turning over the Father Lichwe's bowl.
He turned over whose bowl?
It says,
I'll read it out. Because of this, monks, let the order turn Lichavi Vada's bowl upside down.
Because he did wrong.
Yes, Lichavi Vada is a lay person.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But Lichavi didn't have bowl.
I understand that, but I'm saying it says.
So the sense is that did not receive anything.
Yes,
from.
Right. Understand that. And the commentary says, if a person is possessed of any one of the eight qualities, the order may turn it down.
Mm-hmm.
When anyone's bowl is turned upside down,
any lay follower,
no alms may be taken in his house. And then the Subcombatika says, the order may turn it, that is the bowl of the lay follower, upside down by a proclamation, Gama Vacha, for turning a bowl upside down, on account of which there is no receiving of alms given, not by placing it face downwards.
And I checked the Pali, and the Pali also said it's...
But what does it mean, the bowl or the meaning that we should
The meaning is that
accept.
Meaning
the monks
is that
cannot receive.
Yeah, so we don't mind about the bowl.
No. Yeah. The point is just that nothing can be received by that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So the question was then if the monk turns the monk's bowl upside down, which is not what the passage
it's
says.
The meaning
is it
only,
in accordance
with
that?
But it does mean that let's bring the bowl and do this.
Yeah, because
if
it's already got food in it, you need to call it food.
Should we bring the bowl and then do this?
I don't know.
Impossible. Just the meaning of the word. What does it mean by that term?
Right.
And probably by pointing to the layperson's bowl, it's shown that it's directed only to that person.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, not then it
anyone.
Might mean, you know, to everyone.
Okay, should we go back to space? So what you're saying is that when there are no kalapas arising, there is the unconditioned akasa. Mm-hmm. But why is the unconditioned akasa called nothing? Just it means...
Is there something in it?
But can we, if it is a rupa, can we call it nothing?
We call it rupa because its character is that
rupa, but nothing in the sense of no kalapas, no...
has no characteristics.
No things arising. When we talk about nothing, not Mahabhuta, not sound, then it's akasa, right? So Mahabhuta, so sound is not akasa, the unconditioned akasa. So there is akasa, the unconditioned one. Okay.
Okay, that is clear. And then a friend wrote, is there any asankata space in the water for fish to swim? So if we're talking about water, then there is asankata.
Do we have to think much if we understand what is meant by the conditioned agasa and the unconditioned agasa? Otherwise, we'll think a lot about more and more and more swarming.
Right, that's true.
Today is an interfacious tool.
Yes.
But not understanding the teachings. I'd like to talk about the three kinds of koja.
Okay.
What is koja, first of all?
The object, for example, the object of satipatthana was one of the sampajanyas. Gochara sampajanya is the object in samatha. It is the samatha object.
Okay. Is it
Gochara?
Gochara.
Gochara rupa, you mean?
Just Gochara.
Gochara.
What is Gochara?
Gochara. The
what is jara and what is ko and what is Gochara?
Is it not object, a different word? Is
it? It is object.
It is object. No, yeah. Same word. G-O-C-A-R-A.
Gochara. As citta arises, it experiences an object, right? It must have object, right?
Yes.
And now there must be object of citta.
Yes.
And when we think or read about the Pitaka, is different from other objects.
Yes.
And the kojara that appears now is accumulated from moment to moment to be upanisyapatuya.
Yes.
For what?
For citta or cetasika.
For understanding. For understanding reality,
yes.
Which is so very difficult to directly experience the true nature of reality. But now we are developing,
yes,
the understanding of object right now. Instead of thinking about the cinema and books and so forth and playthings. So how come to be moment of kusala if there is no understanding about reality at all? Because at this moment there is a kusala after seeing, right? After hearing. So how can there be the kusala which protect one from having more and more a kusala after seeing and hearing if it's not the understanding, mm-hmm, of what we're reading now?
Yes.
And when time comes, one knows that at moment of akusala, there can be thinking or the arising of sati at level of seeing or understanding that there is akusala. At that moment, it's not satipatthana yet, but it's the function of sankhara khanda that will perform its function anytime. We don't know, no expectation at all. But we can see in daily life how many times or less or very little or none at all. And after the accumulation of the upanisya kojara, it can condition that level of having conditions for kusala to arise in order to protect or to hinder the growth of akusala, but not the satipatthana. And when it develops more and more and more, it can condition moment of understanding reality right now. That's the way the sankhara will turn once from the other object to help the, what you call it, composing the cetasikas to a reality right now. This is the three. The first one is upajasa upanisya kojara. The second one is arakha sampajanya. And the third one is upanipanda kojara. This is the point of understanding reality right now, to be conditioned for Upanisya Padya or Upanisya Kojara and Araka Kojara and Upanipanda Kojara. Because no matter what Buddha taught, it just flow away out of the citta because no absorption of the value of the teachings at all. It reflects the accumulation of lots and lots of avicca and attachment. Think always about other things all the time. So how come the Sankhara Khanda will bring it back to each moment of seeing to understand reality right now?
By
three koja.
Beginning with Upanisya.
That's why the teachings are very subtle and so very helpful if we understand that the teaching points to reality right now that can be directly experienced with understanding. Otherwise, there is no way. It keeps on turning away from reality right now to other things all the time, even while one is reading or hearing. It's so true because anytime there is hearing of Dhamma, there's thinking about other things by conditions, by Upanisya Kojara, not the Araka Kojara, even that one. So what about the Upanibandha Kojara?
Where can we read about these? Does it have about them in the Pratisangada?
I think so.
What's the meaning of Araka then?
Protect or compose.
Compose.
Like Sangvara.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the last one you said was
Upanibandha, the moment of understanding reality, which appears.
So this is actually like we were discussing yesterday with regard to food or climate or anything. So anything we read can actually be Upanisya Gochara, but it depends on the understanding, wise attention, whether it becomes the Araka and then
Upanibandha.
Upanibandha.
Even the just the ball, see. It depends on
how it's considered. So
Sankhara condition it to this way or that way.
Right. Because it's just a concept or an idea, but one can read about it wisely or unwisely. So depending on whether the Upanisya Gochara is whether it is a condition for kusala or akusala
chittas
or understanding to arise, will. So it depends on how it's read and reflected on, whether it's a condition for understanding to develop or not.
This is the understanding of pohara.
How it is read, how it is wisely considered. There was some discussion about pariyati, because we always say that pariyati is the wise considering. So the wise considering when you read about
the
well versed
of understanding the teachings.
But in a quote that someone gave from the commentary to the Anguttara, when it says there was the discussion between different bhikkhus, between those who followed ascetic practices and those who talked about the importance of the teachings, and the elders who were teachers of the Dharma then quoted that as long as the suttas endure, as long as the Vinaya is taught, or just that long, there'll be light, etc. But when the suttas are no more, the Vinaya is forgotten, there'll be darkness in the world. While the suttas are protected, then practice is protected too, making it sound like not just the understanding, but the actual texts themselves are
this was a definition of what pariyatti means. So they were saying that pariyatti is actually the preservation of the suttas and the vinaya.
Yes, understanding.
That has to be with understanding. Both. Because without the text, then no Upanishad.
The teaching is for understanding.
Yes. Under Upanishadpachya, it always says that, and we know that concepts, anything can be included, anything can be a condition by Upanishadpachya. So, reading about the balls
because or... Because if it be in terms of object,
yes.
Of citta, see? From moment to moment, from time to time.
So, for example, yesterday when we were talking about climate and food and so on, and actually Betty asked or said, "Oh, well, these are concepts." So when we talk about, or when the Patana talks about food and climate as conditioned by way of Pakatu Upanishya, is it actually using them there as a shorthand for realities, or is it referring to them as concepts?
It means that one cannot live without all these things.
Yes.
And to live for what? Live to eat or live to understand really?
Mm-hmm. But in that context, are these things like the food and climate, are they...
And teachings and everything in one's life.
So when Pakatu Upanishya includes concepts and realities, are these as...
Concept?
Include
the concept, but without reality there is no concept at all.
Right, because Sanya marks him, so this is why... They become Pakatu Upanishya. So it's actually, when you're talking about these things as Pakatu Upanishya, it's actually referring to both realities and concepts. Because these concepts based
even
on
we them. Don't use the word concept, it's there.
Yes.
But it can be known without concept, that's all. It cannot be known without concept. For example, we use the word food. That's what we eat for rupa, to keep on, see? But we don't cling to just the word food. That, only that.
Yes, here it says, this is from the Patana, pleasant bodily feeling, painful bodily feeling is conditioned as Pakatu Upanishya, for confidence in Kusala, for Sila, for hearing, studying, for detachment and for Panya. The environment, foodstuff, dwelling is conditioned as strong dependence, conditioned for confidence in Kusala, for Sila, for hearing, studying, for detachment and for Panya. So I think this relates to the three gocharas.
Otherwise we'll sit and talk without eating anything. Right?
Yes.
Impossible.
Not a good idea.
That's why all these are included for living to understand the teachings.
Okay. To stress that it's impossible, so it all comes back to the understanding of Dharma, so it's pointing that out that there is
object.
Essential support conditions. Anne wrote to me and she asked, can you say more about concepts conditioning present thinking and remembrance by natural decisive support condition? What surprised her was concepts as a condition for anything.
Anything? Oh, just citta, cittasikas.
Well, it is just citta, but what surprised her was the inclusion of concepts as a condition. And I wrote back that, yes, concepts are included in Pakatu Upanishya, as well as an object condition, as a condition for cheetahs and cheetah seekers to arise later. And I gave a summary. And therefore, Pakta Upanisya conditions consist of greed, faith, seasons, food, etc., that have been frequently experienced, and that Pakta Upanisya is the broadest of conditions and can be said to include all other conditions. Is that correct?
What's her question?
Her question was, she was just surprised that
it's surprised at all. No. From morning to night, today, yes. Full of concept.
I think what people find difficult is because we say repeatedly there's only cheetah, cheetah seeker and rupa.
And thinking
about concepts, mm-hmm. Yes.
All day.
But then they find it difficult to understand why concepts which are not real can actually be a conditioning factor, but it's a conditioning...
Because it's the object of thinking.
Yeah. Isn't it then the thinking and the sanya, which is the conditioning factor, because of thinking about concepts, therefore there is the accumulation, the tendency to think more about concepts. So can one actually say it
seems like there is separate concept with being object of citta.
Yes.
It's only a moment of thinking.
Yeah, that's true.
But this comes back to the question you were asking before, whether when these concepts are mentioned, they're being mentioned as object of citta, or mentioned in respect of the realities that they represent. I thought you clarified that when it talks about climate,
yes,
as condition, it's the temperature, not the not thinking about the concept.
You think of temperature, are you experienced heat and cold?
Both.
You don't have to use the term temperature at all at moment of experiencing heat.
No.
But if, for example, in that case, yes, what we mean by temperature is the moments of experience, heat and cold. This is what I was saying yesterday to Betty. It's like a shorthand. But if, for example, one thinks about the monk's bowls, well, then it's just thinking about a concept.
You mean that there's no bowl and there's no monk?
No, for example, right now I'm thinking about someone and getting angry at that person who's not here. So what's conditioning?
Memory. That's why sanya arises with each citta.
So in this case, would we say that that the concept of person A is natural decisive support condition for the anger to arise? Can we say that?
What about object?
It's object condition that I understand, but when we say it's Pakata Upanisya Paccaya, what is the Pakata Upanisya Paccaya? The same concept?
You mean that can it be accumulated?
That particular...
The anger is accumulated.
What is accumulated?
Sanya.
Sanya and all realities.
Yes.
Which remember concept, because it's accumulated to remember
particular concepts. So it's actually the what is accumulated, then what is the decisive support is actually the memory of that particular concept, so that particular memory.
That's right. By way of Abhidharma, it has to be reality, absolute reality, by way of sutta, anything.
But when we read in Pakta Upanisya that concepts also included...
So we have to understand, because according to sutta, anything can be.
Yes, anything
but
can be.
But according to Paramada Dharma, is the Paramita Dhamma, or is the accumulation of sanya, which remembers everything, even concept.
So when, for example, we talk about pariyatti, you know, like we read about citta and cetasika, and this is a condition for right understanding to develop later by Pakto Upanisya. So actually, what we read about now is just a concept. So we... A concept about realities. Mm-hmm. So the conditioning factor is the marking or the memory of those concepts.
Until the absolute reality is directly experienced.
Yes. But can one say that those particular concepts, for example, the concept about the reality, the concept about nama and rupa, can one say that the concept is pakatu upanisya pachya for cheetahs and cheetahs?
If there is no understanding of concept, can there be right understanding of a reality right now? It's not the concept itself.
It's a wise attention to the concept at the time. Okay, when we say, okay, well, reading about these concepts, the Buddha's words are conditioned for right understanding. Actually, it's not the Buddha's words, it's the wise attention to those words at the time that is the condition. In other words, the Suttamaya Panya, that's
my para. Okay, talking about cittas, cetasikas.
So sanya conditions the thinking, whereas on one hand lopa might condition more lopa, and accumulated lopa will condition more lopa, and or accumulated panya might condition panya to arise with that same object.
It's the understanding.
Yes. So if suppose I hear about citta.
Is there any understanding about citta?
Again, that's what I'm saying. If there's no understanding, then in the future that may condition just thinking about it for sure, but without understanding.
In what language?
Same language.
Only in that lifetime.
Is because I heard Chitta yesterday. So that is how I can think about it today because of Sandhya. And if there was understanding about Chitta yesterday, it can be a condition when hearing about citta today for
different words.
And it can be different words.
Yeah.
In the classification of Pakto Upanisya, when it mentions realities and concepts are included, if we say, okay, it wasn't just the words about Dharma that is conditioned, it has to be the understanding of those words that an intellectual level or a listening level that is the condition for later understanding. Well, in that case, it is a reality, Paramita Dhamma, that is conditioning Paramita Dhamma's cittas and cetasikas later. And if we say in the case of climate, well, it's actually not a concept, but at the moment of experiencing heat or cold, that moment of experiencing is a condition for later moments of experiencing. So what exactly is meant when it says that concept is a condition by Pakatu Upanisya?
Suttanta or Paramata?
By Paramata, by Patana. In Patana, it talks about, it refers to...
Yes, but even Patana, one has to know that it's concept about or the reality. Like people, see?
Yes, yes.
Can people be object which can be accumulated? so that they will bring about the understanding.
I see.
See?
So it's actually when it says reality and concept as condition, it's actually referring not to concept on its own as a possible condition, but to reality experiencing concept when as a condition.
From associate with that person.
I think you may have missed earlier when you're talking about hearing the teachings, as John said, it's the meaning that is the conditioning factor.
The understanding
of what is.
Of the meaning.
Of the meaning, not the meaning on its own.
Not the understanding without the meaning.
No. So when it talks about under Bhaktu Upanisya, that the conditioning factor can be realities or concepts. Actually, it can't be concepts without, it has to be realities or realities with concepts.
Or reality that we used to think about concepts, like people and things.
Right.
Even though in the end it's just realities, but there is object which is a concept.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it is that thinking about those concepts as condition. It seems such an obvious point, but actually it's quite subtle, because even when we read the Abhidhamma, like the Patthana, there are so many concepts used as well as paramattha dharmas, and to understand exactly what is meant, it seems clear, and then later you realize no, it wasn't clear.
And how come to know clearly?
Only by understanding the reality now.
That experiencing. Otherwise, it's only thinking and thinking about that.
Yes.
That's why how much one learns and one thinks that one is studying Pariyatti after this life is completely gone. Because it's only the memory of English or words in different languages.
And when you refer to the three Gotra, the same would apply in development of samatha as well as anything.
Because it can be akusala too.
Oh, and akusala also.
But it's not araka.
Okay, no.
And upanipanda.
Okay.
Only upanisya.
Yeah. But if it isn't samatha development, then also one can talk about araka and.
Just temporarily. And no understanding, no upanipanda at all.
No.
Upanibandha Kojara.
Because that has to be direct understanding of reality.
I see, that's what I wanted to ask. So we could say that any moment of kusala, when it arises, for example, the first one is what?
Upanisya.
But we think about people, different people. Normally it's just conditioned lopa, but that can happen that instead of lopa, then the habit of having metta arises. So when that's kusala, would that be the second one also?
Anytime. By condition, it does mean that after you have learned some about Paramattha Dhamma, then there is no kusala without panya.
Kusala is the second one.
A level of, because it's a degree of samatha.
Because you see that we try to think of the cause and try to have the cause to condition the result. What about the result now? How come to be this moment? Like to hear Dhamma, we know after hearing that there must be conditions, and what are conditions are told. Like Araka, Kojara, how come without the Upanisya? And how come to have awareness right now of a reality without the Upanisya? And Araka, because we don't know what would happen next, with panya or without panya.
Is there any mention of going the other way,
Upanisaya. Yeah, Upanisaya can be either kusala or akusala, but we are talking about how come the Upanibandha without stage by stage.
It's going the other way.
Because people just want to know how to do, how to sit.
It means that there is no upachara, upanisya kojara at all.
So really what it comes down to is the actual not understanding of conditions, not understanding of realities. Yeah.
So if there is greater interest and confidence in the Dhamma, it does show that there has been some araka. Okay. Good job.
Could you just repeat what you said about the word kocara, ko and
object.
Object.
Avcitta.
And chara.
Chara is to go, to wander around.
Right.
Eyes, ears, and stomach.
Mm.
And so, for example, in the Satipatthana Sutta, when it refers to gochara, sampajanya, it's actually referring to the last one, the direct understanding.
Mm. Awareness of gochara.
Is this just another way of looking at Patipatti, Pativeda? Like it's still all just understanding.
Related to everything which is real, depending on conditions and degrees, and by Vohara.
Vohara.
To help the listeners to understand better and better.
And also the differences, like you said, this can be the Upanisya Gochara, it can be Kusala or Akusala. So if it's Hariyati, it's only talking about
Kusala.
Leading to Upanibandha, the moment of being aware. Because it always moves away all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And how to have conditions for understanding directly of our reality right now.
Relate at all to what we were saying about Sama Samadhi and the as understanding develops, the firmly attending to the object becomes stronger or more apparent, because now when its awareness is weak, it's always moving
actually,
away.
Actually, it means the better and better understanding of what one heard or read about the teachings. Because this is the only way to eliminate desire and attachment by understanding better and better.
By understanding the object,
the teachings. Because teachings is about objects.
Mm.
And that's why there has to be a clear understanding of the objects or of the realities that can be known for understanding to develop. That's why when people think there can be an understanding of anatta, but without understanding precisely what the realities are, actually the understanding cannot
because develop. They don't know that realities are anatta.
Not exactly. They don't know what is the distinction between realities and concepts. They don't know what realities are. This quote was given in one of Nina's books, but I think it may have come from you. It says, one may apply oneself to samatha, but if one does not have accumulations for the attainment of jhana or even access concentration, one should consider for oneself whether it's beneficial or not to continue developing samatha. Even while one applies oneself to a meditation subject, akusala cittas still arise. The hindrances are not suppressed until one has attained access, concentration, and jhana. To me, it makes it sound like if one says one should consider for oneself whether it's beneficial or not to continue developing samatha, it makes it sound as if one can determine or decide whether one has the accumulations to develop samatha or whether one should develop samatha. But from everything we understand about conditioned dharmas and anatta, either a moment of samatha, either there is a moment of samatha development now or there isn't, but it's not a matter of determining that one can develop samatha or one should develop samatha.
So what is samatha?
Calm.
What moment?
A moment when any moment of kusala is calm is samatha.
Now, is it kusala or akusala?
Now, whenever the citta is kusala, a moment of wise reflection, it's calm.
Yeah, but calmness does not appear as citta does not appear.
Yes.
To right understanding at all.
Yes.
It's only reading and thinking.
Yes.
And programming.
Yes.
So, we cannot select any object,
no.
Right? But by understanding the inertness of reality, if there is thinking with anger, is that samatha?
No.
Without anger, without lobha, without moha?
It's samatha.
Yes. So, in a day, how many moments? That is panya, which can know, not we select to have
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
Everything depends on understanding. Even at moment of being aware of a reality, why there are different papa like kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma, because the accumulations are different.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that then I have accumulation of kaya, I'll select this. Mm-hmm. Or at this moment of paying homage to the dhamma sangha, so calm, so the lopa is there, wanting more to do that, or panya see that that is attachment.
Yes,
see,
yes.
So all depends on panya to know better and better. Otherwise, there's no way to have less akusala and more and more panya.
So if someone thinks that they can decide whether or not to develop samatha,
according to the book, it sounds like that.
Yes.
But without panya.
Yeah.
But by one's own accumulation, which can be known by moment of understanding with awareness, one can understand one's accumulation.
Right.
And it depends on whether there is attachment there, or it is aware again and again, without the idea of I will or I want, or I will have more. See, it depends on understanding only.
Because otherwise people think, oh, okay, well, now we have accumulations or interest to develop an understanding of realities, but, oh, we need to know whether we have accumulations to develop samatha or to do this or that. But actually, it just one moment at a time, we don't know what the next moment will be or what the accumulation will be.
And at the moment, wanting is not samatha. See? When there is no distinction between akusala and kusala, it's impossible for panya to arise and understand what moment is samatha and what is not.
So that level of panya is very important for the development of
panya
samatha.
Panya is the best, the most precious thing in not this life only, circle of birth and death.
Mm.
That's
where a lot of people want it.
Yes, and if someone thinks, oh, well, I'll become a monk and go to a temple because I want to develop samatha, then it's quite wrong because it's not understanding.
The understanding what sati and sampajanya is. Just follow the word sati sampajanya. Samatha and vipassana cannot develop without sati sampajanya, but no understanding of sati and sampajanya at all.
Even at the level of samatha development.
How is the distinction then between kusala and akusala
developed?
Yeah. Can we say that the development of samatha is in fact the development of the understanding of the difference between
with awareness? Yeah. Can panya know moment which is kusala and moment which is akusala, because samatha is the development of kusala.
Right. But those who haven't heard the teachings can develop samatha.
With panya or without panya?
With panya?
Yeah, yes. But not knowing about the teachings,
right,
about the realities,
no,
nama and rupa.
No.
On the passage about when Ananda became enlightened, we read that then Venerable Ananda thought, the meeting is tomorrow, it's not seemly for me to go to the meeting as an initiate. He spent much of the night in contemplation of the body. Now, first of all, so this means, according to his accumulations, many moments of sati with the rupas of the body as object, just according to his accumulations.
Could right. anyone stop the accumulation of Ananda to think and act?
No, no. So all we can say is these were his accumulations. Could one say, well, also there must have been understanding of other realities, of namas as well, but predominantly
conditions to think.
Conditions to think, okay.
Otherwise, think one will think that now one is on the way of the path, so one does not think about this at all.
No. So when you say conditions to think like that, or you mean conditions to be aware of those particular
everything
conditions. And when the night was near dawn, he came down from the walk, entered his dwelling.
Who can stop conditions?
Okay, right. I shall lie down.
Who can stop conditions? Stop thinking about Ananda by such and such thinking.
And the friend who quoted this said, oh, it seems that Ananda felt some kind of pressure or something, but no, just conditioned dharmas
only. Thinking about Ananda's
because
thinking.
Actually he's a sotapanna, so it's
so assume what Ashita is thinking.
No. So all one can say is conditioned dharma.
Seems the answer has always come down to conditions, kind of down.
Right now.
Like all of the same.
There's no conditions, nothing can arise.
What puzzles me is getting back to the subject of kusala and akusala. When the citta is mixed, which is all
mixed.
The time, it's mixed, yeah, I mean, like now there's kusala jittas arising and there probably akusala jittas arising also. Only a developed awareness can take, say, the kusala jittas as object.
It begins to understand Dhamma as the self, as a Dhamma, the self.
Right. But the person who, for example, hasn't heard the teachings, but who is able to develop samatha,
Yes.
That person.
Because that person sees the danger of attachment.
But he would also means he would be able to distinguish.
Yes.
The kusala
at that level of awareness, which is the sampajanya.
Yes.
Yeah. Because without panya, who can see the difference between kusala and akusala? But not seeing reality as it is.
So
it's the me or mine.
Right. So it's the same sati sampajanya.
Different.
But
because that level does not know
right.
The nama and rupa and reality.
Right.
So even then, if it's not at the level of realities, understanding of realities, understanding of the difference between kusala and akusala is bound to be taken as me and mine?
Otherwise, finish. No more to develop right understanding, to eradicate the idea of self.
You missed that snippet. What's interesting that the panya that knows kusala from akusala, which is of the level of samatha, is also called sati sampajanya.
Because it's not thinking.
Because it's not thinking.
It's directly experiencing the reality as kusala or akusala.
Yeah, with the commentaries. But sati sampajanya of satipatthana. Is the sampajana is the type that's with amoha that knows anatta. So it's a different type of sati sampajana.
It sees the danger of avicca. But the samatha sees the danger of lobha. So samatha tries not to have lobha, not developing the understanding reality right then as not self.
Just lobha, not dosa?
Lobha, dosa and all other. Akusala.
Not avicca.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Now you see the danger of what?
Nothing.
Thanks.
If you don't have lobha, you won't have dosa.
No, when we're talking momentarily.
But you cut out lobha, you don't have dosa.
Yeah.
We come here to have no lopa.
I don't even think like that. I don't know. So
we come here to have more understanding of the ignorance.
Well, I mean, I know in developmental samatha. We read about sati sampajanya, but when you say because it's not thinking, but still when it is development of samatha, the object is a concept, so would we not refer to that as thinking when the object is a concept?
Can the reality be known?
No.
When there is awareness?
Not in the development of samatha.
When there is awareness, it means that at that moment it's not just thinking theoretically about what is kusala and what is not kusala.
Oh, it's known at that level.
Yeah.
Directly known at that level.
So
but the object is still... the object of samatha is still a concept, for example.
You don't have to talk whether it's concept or not, but at that moment... What appear? The lopa attachment or dosa or no lopa, no dosa. But other wholesome jetasikas can appear.
So would you then say it is the reality which is the object?
Why not? Because now what seeing sees.
But not understood as a reality.
Yes.
But we've always said that in the development of samatha, the object is a concept. And for example, if the
samatha.
Samatha.
What about corpse and what about hair? What about nails?
It's a concept.
Concept.
So method to a person.
Contemplation, right? Contemplation.
You think about contemplation, but about a moment of kusala is samatha.
Right.
But it does not appear because so fast, so short. But when kusala appears more and more, then the characteristic of samatha appear. That's all. It doesn't mean that we should sit and develop samatha, but in a day, if you have more metta, see, that's the meaning of developing samatha.
So if we keep stick with metta for a moment, so moment of metta, the object is a person, it's a concept. So if it is the development of samatha, then it is wise contemplation with understanding at that moment.
Do we have to contemplate?
Or at that moment of metta?
It is kusala.
It is kusala.
And when it arises more and more, one can see that one feels be friendly to people more and more.
So, but at the actual moment of metta itself, at the moment of samatha development, the object is a concept.
It doesn't matter. But how to have the kusala develop?
Mm-hmm. By understanding that quality.
If it's by metta. Metta is there.
Yes.
More and more. That's the development of metta or development of samatha.
Yes.
Do we have to think about people or snake or bird or anything at that moment?
But even
because usually it's there. So we understand the teachings that it's taught people.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't have to think that it has to be people, so
no,
we know.
Okay. No. So we know, okay, at this moment, if there is metta, it's friendly to people, that's all. But when you say that in the development of samatha, the sati sampajanya directly experiences reality.
Metta.
Okay. Different moment though, from the moment of metta itself.
Yeah.
So one moment of metta being friendly to people, another moment when there is understanding that characteristic of metta.
Yeah, I think so.
When one is kind and friendly, doesn't one know at that moment? We don't have to come back and think what moment knows that.
Yeah. Well, each.
It's still two different objects, isn't it?
Chitta can have
it doesn't matter. It can be anything that at that moment chitta is wholesome. Like giving things dana.
So this is why there can be wholesome citta without development of samatha, because there's no
value of seeing the value.
There's no seeing the wholesome
quality
nature of the quality. There's just the metta, for example.
Yes.
So it's panya which knows.
Can one say that then, in fact, when we're talking about development of metta, samatha development, it's actually referring not just to the accumulation of metta, but the other moments in between, wisely reflecting, wisely understanding that the nature of metta. So it actually refers to both the accumulation of metta and the understanding of that quality.
One knows that one is angry now. One knows that one has metta, see?
Mm.
And by having more and more,
yes.
For wholesome we use the term develop.
Yes, yes.
It doesn't mean that one will sit and develop.
No.
But in the day, what arises more and more than before, by seeing the danger of akusala.
Yes. So actually many different aspects are included, the understanding of the quality of metta, the development of metta itself, the seeing the harm of akusala.
Because you see that if one thinks that one will develop metta, But there is no metta in there. So how can that person see the moment of metta to have more and more metta towards different people?
Yeah. If someone resolves to have more metta and they bring it, they therefore bring the teachings to mind about metta more often, isn't it likely that, or possible that they would have more metta than if they just thought, oh, well, I'll let it arise naturally sort of thing?
That's that personal moment of metta.
Well, like you said, most people know when we're feeling kind or friendly, don't we?
Yeah, and that's one knows that one has more and more metta. Or less and less, or some. See, when it's not more, we don't use the term develop. But when it develops, it means that that person can have metta towards more and more people and beings by understanding too. But it doesn't mean that one will sit and have metta all day, thinking about different people, but not understanding the moment of what metta is there or not. Just want to develop, to have more.
But
without metta
in the day. Want to have
so
all that.
So have metta in the day more.
Yeah.
Before develop to that degree.
Oh, okay. You mean first have it in daily life before trying to go further.
Right. Otherwise there's no way.
Yeah, sure, I agree. But sometimes Dharma study groups seems to give the idea that even wanting to have more metta, even in a daily life situation, is a little bit going the wrong way, whereas possibly having the understanding or the desire to have more metta can be a condition, right?
Desire to have metta, but you get angry with people around in the day very often.
Well, it's very natural to get angry sometimes, but at least...
So is that moment?
No.
Metta? So can metta be there?
By desire.
Right then?
Can.
So that the development of metta, if it develops, not other moment, but moment when there's anger, when one is angry, can there be metta more often? That is the development of metta.
But isn't that sort of resolution to try to have metta?
How?
By seeing the advantage of metta, theoretically,
okay.
And so on.
Now there's anger.
Right.
What about metta?
I'll have anger and later have metta.
She intention to have it or
not
try or no condition?
I think it's just more of a, making that resolution maybe as a one of the reminders to possibly have metta instead
it
of
It seems
anger.
Like we can think of metta when there is no anger.
No, I would say, okay, I know anger is going to arise very often by conditions
so,
anyway.
And where's metta then?
It's gone. But it comes back.
when there is no anger?
Well, at the moment of anger, say one thinks, this is anger arising, but I've previously resolved to try to have more metta, so...
When
you feel angry, and so, feeling dosa.
Right,
in that way, so... I'm just wondering, is that possible, or... Seems... I think that's the way most people think of
it. The question would be, if we resolve to have more metta...
Yeah.
Do we know moments of metta from moments that are not metta?
Ajahn was just saying, mostly we do know when we feel genuinely friendly, right?
Sati samvacanya.
Right.
Okay, so there has to be some understanding.
Sometimes we may.
Yeah.
But,
people sit down and have sort of fake metta. They try and, have, but basically it's lopa, I realise that. But, sometimes...
But just by wanting to have more... metta in the future, isn't it again wanting to be the person with more metta?
I don't really do that myself, but I'm just
excuse me.
Putting the thought in
you my want head. To be metta to whom?
Not me so much, but
no one just wanting to call
it
metta.
I just understand theoretically with this sort of resolution.
Beings. Yeah, when there's no being, no thinking about being,
sure,
to whom you'll have metta.
Well, obviously it must be about beings, of course, yeah.
So at the moment of thinking, is it kusala which thinks?
If it's a friendly thought about people, right.
So develops by having more, well,
understanding?
And what do you get? You say, well, wishes or think in the right way to help, or thinking without anger and attachment. So one can see that even thinking about people, friends, or anyone, it depends on whether at that moment things with lopa, attachment, or dosa, and how metta comes in without awareness to see.
So I think so it comes down to understanding.
Here's a question. In a normal day, how many moments would there be when we're not either in the presence of other people or thinking of other people?
Quite a lot. Quite often.
Like when?
Like when we're thinking about ourselves.
Well, that's which is quite true.
Well, do we have metta to ourselves? We don't pray. No, no.
But
No, really, it's a serious question. I mean, aren't we thinking about ourselves more than other people usually?
But in the context of other people, isn't it? Like, when you think about yourself, it's usually in the context of other people.
But you're thinking about them, some advantage to yourself with low power, right? Yeah, not with it. It's not.
People are, other people are the object of consciousness most of the day anyway.
I don't know.
Well, for all the time we're sitting here, for example, all the time we're at work, when we're at home, I mean, there's always other people either in view or in close proximity.
Well, when I'm writing, I'm not really thinking about other people so much, am I?
Writing what? A reply?
Writing one of my dissertations on such and such a arcane subject that no one ever reads. Of course. Usually those
are... No metta.
But it's not the object of not other people, too.
But if we think, oh, well, I'll have metta to those other people later... isn't the point that usually there are opportunities for metta very commonly most of the
there
time
are, there
in
are
the present.
Plenty of opportunities already.
So your point is?
My point is that there are plenty of opportunities already in a day for metta.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
But if you make the resolve very often, you know, you see the disadvantage of dosa and lopa, and you realise having metta would be a better way to live or whatever, for whatever reason you see that it's praised by the Buddha. That may be upanisya pachya, when there is dealings with other people or thinking about other people, possibly to develop metta a little. Or at least
see the result when you see people in thing.
Oh, that's the result.
Of thinking.
Of thinking. Same old dosa.
Yeah. Right, one can have all sorts of
ideas. You know, drive in Bangkok, so you can imagine metta could be quite useful,
That's why people try to have kusala as much by just thinking.
Doesn't really work. In the long run, it doesn't. It's not really a condition.
They don't understand that moment of wanting to have.
Like now you can determine, oh, well, I have metta when I'm back on the road with those other drivers. But actually at this moment... it's not any kind of metta. It's really just wanting to have more kusala for oneself. And then when one's on the road, it depends on conditions, whether there's metta or dosa. But at this, back to the present moment, at this moment, it's just wanting to have more metta.
Well, although I notice, say I read your book on the parami, the ten parami, about, and you read, if I'm reading that, say, and I'm thinking about it a lot, that can be a condition to be a little bit less dosa when I'm driving sometimes, that sort of thing,
because
right?
Because of vanya, understanding.
It doesn't really have to be in words, like, I shall have metta. Any moment of seeing the value of metta, right, that is already what it is.
Being friendly.
If there is seeing the value at this moment, this friendliness.
No attachment.
This is a quote that's often given from the Visuddhimagga. A meditator who wants to develop firstly loving kindness among these, if he is a beginner, should sever the impediments and learn the meditation subject. Then, when he has done the work connected with the meal and got rid of any dizziness due to it, he should sit himself comfortably on a well-prepared seat in a secluded place. Here, by a beginner, does it mean the one who is about to attain jhana, or what is meant by beginner?
It depends on understanding.
Could you say more?
Jonathan, me and myself had a bit of a debate on the list about Anapanasati related to this, right? Where I quoted the Visuddhimagga saying that cross-legged lotus posture was suitable for, the Buddha said it was suitable for mindfulness of breathing. And I thought that indicated that posture was the appropriate posture. But John was suggesting that it's more, maybe it is for someone who's near to jhana because of the, whereas it's not really appropriate, necessarily appropriate for a complete beginner trying to develop.
What is the moment of wanting to concentrate on breath or to be calm by having breath as object?
Oh yeah, I'm not interested in breath at all, not in the least.
Mean that person who try or want to.
I think most 99.9% of people in the world now, when they try to do Anapanasati, it's just low power.
And
avijja. Jonathan and me were trying to decide whether someone who, maybe the genuine person who could possibly have that as an object.
The point is to be calm, or the point is to know the breath?
I don't know.
So it's not understanding?
Well, yeah, I'm not. Yeah. Like I say, I'm not interested.
Without understanding, can there be the development of samatha?
And also, for breath, they say it's the hardest object, most difficult object anyway, right?
Like what Sarah read just a moment. Mm. Prepare to go. But what about now? Mm. No understanding about moment of kusla.
Yes.
It's impossible.
Yes. So it's for those who understand about kusala.
Yeah, must be.
Why wait?
Can there be next one? Who knows?
Who knows?
It's obvious samatha is a lot more complex than people seem to think.
Mm. Because they just want to have this and that all the time. Whatever they read, they just want to have them all. But actually, it's the understanding about kusala and akusala.
Mm. Yeah, they think it's just some technique, that some method that this is right. If I practice enough,
that
I'll
go. It's wanting.
Yeah.
Loba.
From you.
Could I rephrase this in the light of Sabaya Sampajanya by saying that for the development of metta, at the moment of metta arising, there is no impediment, there is no akusala at that moment, and by conditions, one may see that, for example, by overeating or lying down and falling asleep.
But before that, is there any understanding about kusala and akusala, or just want to have?
So and before that, even before being a beginner, there has to have been the clear understanding of kusala and akusala and what the quality of metta is, and then by conditions one will find certain conditions favourable, certain conditions unfavourable, not by going to find them or following, and not by sitting in a certain way or going to a quiet place, but just naturally
about this moment.
This moment.
See?
Yeah.
If there's no understanding that it is akusala, not kusala yet.
Yeah.
Can they understand the conditions for kusala to arise?
If you overeat and there's drowsiness, and obviously that means that you have to understand that drowsiness is
because one clings
right
to everything and just want to get rid of everything without understanding.
Not just have a conceptual idea about, without understanding.
Well,
there's
no.
overeats, does it mean that one clings very much to it?
One can cling to not overeating.
Yeah. And cling to food too.
Yeah.
And just don't want to have loba. See? Mm-hmm. Impossible.
Someone ministered recently about kaya vinyati. I thought we decided that if someone's walking, surely that's kaya vinyati. Always, isn't it? If someone's walking, there must be kaya vinyati present. But Nina said it's only when someone wants to show that they're walking to someone else. I thought that was
when wanting to convey a meaning, otherwise it's not
vinyati. But just normal walking, she said, is not kaya vinyati, but I can't fathom that. There must be kaya vinyati, surely.
Because it's not conveying any meaning, just walking.
Do you always know there is intention to move for some meaning, or what? Or just move by kusla or akusla?
I think we always move by kusla or akusla.
If you just shoot a gun.
Sorry, shoot a gun.
Shoot a gun. No intention to harm anyone.
Yes.
And shoot with intention to harm.
Yes, exactly.
So, citta at that moment conditions such and such way of doing that.
Yes. But either one is kaya vinyati, surely. Whether you intend or not intend.
Kaya vinyati arises with each citta and falls away with citta. Right? The kaya vinyati and vachi vinyati are only the two rupas which arise and fall away together with citta.
Yes, with the javana only.
It does mean that vachi vinyati and kaya vinyati last as the other rupa, like Mahabhuta rupa.
Yes.
So it's only at moment of intention to have some meaning. No matter you want the other to understand or just to make it know to yourself that you have intention to do that. In that way, by that way, not just move without any meaning.
So say I reach out for this glass, which I do without, I mean, I know that I'm intending to, but is there kind of meaning?
Like when you, what you call it?
Blink your eyes. Yes, that's.
Yeah.
I can understand blink your eyes is not kaya vinyati. I can understand
because
that.
Because it arises that the rupa, which is conditioned with some intention to convey or to let the other know, or even the other don't know, but you still know what are you doing.
Like how about when you wink at someone?
That's kaya vinyati.
Yes. Now, if you just close one eye without winking.
Why never do that?
You are shooting a gun or something.
Oh.
But one is conveying a gun, one is conveying a meaning.
Yes.
And the other is not. It's just an action done with kusala or akusala.
Picking up the cup of tea, usually it's not to convey a meaning, maybe.
But even pointing a gun, I don't think it's kaya vinyati all the way.
Well, this I disagree with.
All the way.
I'm not convinced about that at all.
Why is pointing a gun kaya vinyati?
Because as I read the meaning of the texts, it's kaya vinyati is present whenever there's intention and. There has to be intention to point a gun.
Yeah, but that's it. But maintained at that position can be, you know, by chitta.
Well, you're not moving. Kaya vinyati is kind of about movement to some degree, see.
Vinyati, what is vinyati?
The intimation, kaya vinyati and vachi, the two, the intimation through the body and intimation through the voice.
And so
it's a rupa. So when there is the intention to convey a meaning through one's speech or through one's body.
So I'm still not convinced that
there must be kaya vinyati with every citta.
No. Blinking is something that's virtually unconscious. So I concede there's no kaya vinyati, say, when blinking.
You can see your intention when you move.
Yes. So and that's kaya vinyati.
When there is intention to move in that way, the way you walk, the way you
see. The way you want to walk.
But sometimes it's done unknowingly, no intention, because
it's making more sense.
It arises with citta, the citta condition that, and it does not stay as
you're
long as 17 moments.
You're just walking, you're thinking something completely different. Oh, I see.
Otherwise, there must be kaya vinyati all the time.
Okay, well, that's a bit more, a little bit more clearer than what Nina was saying. Nina was just,
So when you say it that way, it's much clearer. So when it said that kamma is kaya vinyati, we understand that. There must be intention to do. The way one kills, or the way one shoot, or...
And when one say intention to do, it has to be intention with regard to the others.
When we intend to comb, and something like that.
So combing hair would always be because one wants to... wouldn't that be normally be...
Sometimes we don't mind about the way we want, just come and run and do. Because we remember that kaya vinyati arises with citta and falls away with citta. See, it does not last.
So when I'm running, sometimes I'm thinking, not even thinking about running. So there's no kaya vinyati.
You don't mind what
moments.
You're walking in a funny way or not, or something like that.
But sometimes when I'm running, I'm trying to get a special posture to make it more smooth or something.
It's like when one said that kusala kamma is kusala citta. But akusala citta does not mean that there must be at level of akusala kamma. The same way as kaya vinyati, because it arises and falls away as long as citta doesn't want to have it that way.
But if one's running or walking and attending to one's posture, but there's no one else around, so one's
it's
not...
It's kaya vinyati, because the citta want it to be that way.
Okay, it's still conveying a meaning, even though no
citta
one can
wants
see
it to be.
I mean, if you're walking amongst people, but nobody notices you, it's the same, right?
Depends on citta.
The kaya vinyati.
So rather than saying it's cheetah wanting to convey a meaning, it's more correct actually say cheetah wanting it to be that way. Yeah. So even if you live alone and you brush your hair, then it's still cheetah vinyati.
Sorry.
Actually, that's quite a it's quite a good subtle point.
Yeah,
so there may not be anyone else around, even if you live on your own and you brush your hair in a particular way, that no one's going to see it. There's no conveying a meaning to anyone else, but it's just citta wanting it to be that particular way. So
that's kaya vinyati, right? That's what I wanted to determine.
Yes.
Nina was sort of saying it's only for like she was indicating to me
only when someone
other
else.
So it's said in Atthakatha or commentary things like for some to begin to understand what it means.
Just
the distinction.
To show that it's not with every cheetah, but
So when I'm swimming, sometimes when I'm swimming, swimming is a very technical thing, and you have to be very careful with your stroke. But sometimes I forget and I'm just lazy and swimming, thinking about something else. That's not
we remember
quiet.
That it's conditioned by cheetah.
To
be that way.
That's making sense a lot.
Want to be that way.
And a lot of the time we don't know because it follows so rapidly in different moments.
That's good.
Azito just actually asked about, well, is this a subtle rupa? And I said, yes, it's not only a subtle rupa, but it's actually an asabhava rupa. So it means not commonly known. And before you have said, well, sabhava rupas have to be understood before asabhava rupas, so asabhava rupas don't appear. Now, one point back to akasa or space, the space between the kalapas is asabhava rupa, so it doesn't commonly appear, and if we don't know gross rupas or even subtle rupas, which are sabhava rupas, then the asabhava rupa cannot be known. But you've also mentioned that, for example, at the third stage of insight, even the space between kalapas can be known. So you're suggesting that actually asabhava rupas can be known at that point. Does that mean all gross and subtle rupas have been known or something?
By what level of panya?
Very developed
Upanya.
The third Vipassana.
So then it can know Asabhava Rupas. Can it know, talking about the two kinds of space, can it know the
unconditioned
space? Because
you see that
space?
When it's Rupa, it can be known.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have intention to know,
then impossible, of course. Mm-hmm. And so would that apply also to the vinyati, the kaya, vachi, vinyati, any reality?
No expectation.
No. And would it refer also to the unconditioned akasa rupa
as well? No expectation, that is the best way.
Yeah, okay. Anything possible.
Mm. It's just the difference between Savaka and Sammasambuddho.
How does it show the difference between Savaka?
Can you know? All right, Buddha.
No, okay. But even that degree of wisdom of the Savaka can know.
One's accumulation.
Only a Buddha knows.
And then something we discussed a few weeks ago was I brought up that some people like Abhidhamma only, and they find, say, the Dhammapada or the Jataka commentaries, they think that's all just concept and they don't even want to read them, or they think it's just stories. And you said that they're not really understanding the depth of the teaching if they think like that. Mm-hmm. But haven't they got a point? I mean, I love the Jataka stories and really believe them, but haven't they got a point that we don't know whether they're true or not, so why even worry about them?
Because there's a self who is selecting.
Yes, selecting. Why select? When it's the Dhamma.
But they would say, but how do you know it's really true?
Why the question arise? I don't understand.
Well,
when if it's, well, like, well, now, it's concepts, and we know that behind it is Dhammas. So why not those instances, just Dhammas?
Well, okay, say on DSG I write a commentary story, you know, about someone doing something or an animal dying or something because of karma, and someone will say, well, that's just a pure concept. Why worry about that? Why not think about, you know, what's appearing now, realities, which is more real for them?
The moment appearing is chagata, is it not jitta?
Of course.
Can it be known as not so?
Yeah, but they would say, just know that, don't think.
But are we selecting object to understand? On time to understand?
No, they would say, yeah, when they read my story that I'm telling them, they know there's just chitta. For them, it's just...
That is all right. No matter what the object is,
yeah.
Right understanding. Yeah. Chataka and not chataka.
Yeah.
Yesterday, and chataka.
They would say chataka is just the same as, say, any story, Aesop's Fables or something.
But they could, if they had the Panya, read Aesop Fables and think in terms of...
If they listen wisely and understand it's just chitta.
Okay, well, they could say, read a story from the Bible is exactly the same as reading Jataka. But we know the Bible story is about God coming down and smiting...
So Panya know that what is true and what is not true.
But they would say to them it's just equally stories.
That experience object, that's all.
Mm.
No one... Even reading Bible or anything.
Well, if one has that level of understanding, this is their point. Mm. If one is understanding the moment, why bother to read things like Jataka?
As there is election, there is no understanding about realities.
So why I select Jataka, they select Bible, what's the difference?
Conditions, accumulations.
Mm. Mm.
Why this sutta, not that sutta?
But one thing that Jataka doesn't talk about the creator God.
For me, okay, this is, I'm trying to get at, for me when I read the Jataka, there's also inspiration. It's not just that I'm aware of Chitta or Chittasika or Nama Rupa. There's also inspiration from the moral story, the moral behind it.
And I could be inspired from watching a film.
So you see no difference?
You know, somebody, Kusala is Kusala.
Yeah.
So
anything can be a condition. Anything can be a condition. The understanding to arise.
Okay, well, this is the question to Ajahn. I see the Tipitaka and commentaries as being special, he said, to have. They are more likely to condition kusala and understanding than other stories about novels or TV or something. Doesn't mean Satipatthana can arise anytime, understanding can arise anytime, but nevertheless, the commentaries, the stories about karma and vipaka are more
special. By then, Panya can understand what condition such moment to read this or that.
Okay.
Yeah. Doesn't it come back again to this moment? I mean, if at this moment we're reading a fashion magazine, then it depends on the accumulated panya at this moment whether there is any understanding of realities. So it's not a matter of going, especially making a point of thinking one has to open the Jataka rather than the fashion magazine, otherwise it's a selecting again.
And there's tendency to judge instead of to understand what has happened and appear right then.
Okay, a little bit wonder though, if we equate fashion magazine and Bible, say, and commentary stories, it seems a little bit...
Picking one, it means that one can understand one's accumulation.
Yes.
Right then, see?
Agree.
Yeah, that's all. Not self.
Agree.
Coming back to anatheness and not self.
Let me ask this question that Lucas sent to you last night, our Polish friend. So I gave the replies to the questions, and his question to you, which relates to Robert's, was he was listening a lot to the Dharma recordings and reading a lot of the text, but recently he's not enjoying it. When he's reading or listening, it's a condition for dosa, so he doesn't feel like it. So recently he's just been playing computer games and reading other subjects. And is this still his daily life, or should he be concerned about it?
Whatever one is doing, does one know before that it's going to happen?
No, because moment by moment. And
it means a lack of understanding.
Yes, if one thinks in terms of this way. So my reply to him was, this is your life, it's just moments of seeing and hearing and thinking, and you can be understanding any moment. But if one thinks one should be listening more or reading particular texts, then it's not understanding about realities at this moment.
And when anger arises, there's no understanding of it as a reality.
Yes.
And doubt about whether should I do this or that, and it's my way to do this or that.
It's thinking of the situation again. If one thinks, well, one should read the Jatakas or the commentaries and shouldn't play the computer game, it's forgetting about the present moment reality. Then
that's the value of Kenneth's reminder.
Of the which monk or which person, he saw a rag or whatever on the ground and that caused him to become enlightened. You know, so anything can act as a condition. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't even have to be something you read. It can be something you see, something you
hear.
By any of the senses, you know, something you taste, something you smell, something you...
I sometimes tell people that Kunsu Chin likes to watch cartoons and they're so surprised.
they're cute, Tom and Jerry.
Okay, but if someone doubts the veracity of the stories in the Jataka, say, thinks they're fairy tales, doesn't that indicate something's missing
that
inside her?
That should be known as not self then.
But it's showing some degree of lack of wisdom or sadhana, right?
Even so, there's no understanding about doubt then.
Yeah. Why question?
Doubt is real the self.
True.
So,
but if they think they are right, they think it's just a story, then it's not really doubt, it's more like it's wrong.
It's only thinking. It's only thinking with the idea of self.
Someone may not see it as a disadvantage. They may think it's a good thing to not believe these sort of silly stories that they think.
It's not the understanding of reality at all. How can it be good?
Well, they might. Won't
be that way. To know. Theoretical. Understanding only. they want to find out, but they cannot find out because it has to be the understanding of that reality which okay. arises and falls away.
So the So that's the only way to have more sata anyway.
I think the point is that we all have different accumulations, so we pick up different books and have different interests, and not only that, for each of us, those change from moment to moment, like sometimes you don't, like Kunsuchi said, we don't know what the accumulation will be next moment, or when we go home, we don't know whether we'll pick up a Dharma book or we'll lie down, have a sleep, or chat to a friend, or so we never know about the accumulation from moment to moment, but the point is it's only ever the present object that can be known, and the development of Panya doesn't depend at all on the situation or the mm-hmm. activity.
Yes.
So if someone doesn't like reading Jataka stories or doesn't find them helpful, myself, I wouldn't try to persuade them that they should like them, because people just have different
mm-hmm.
different interests in what they read.
Mm. My accumulations are to try to persuade them.
That can be known too, that's the reality, right?
Proselytizing.
And also it's a kind of, you can be kusla too, because you're trying to share the value in what you find helpful. Mm. But Kunsuchin was talking yesterday or the day before about how really whatever one reads, if understanding is developing, anything one reads, anything one hears can be conditioned for sati and panya, so one thinks less and less in terms of, oh well, this is Dharma so it's useful, and that's not Dharma so it's not useful, yeah.
Don't read the book so much, it's more the daily life thing, is that right? Or one doesn't need to maybe
it doesn't matter at all mm-hmm. as long as they are all realities which mm-hmm. are conditioned, so just understand whatever appears. Okay. It's time to see, it sees. It's conditioned to see right now. It times to think, it thinks. It's time to be angry. It's angry. Itself is angry.
And that's where that quote that I think you and Ken H were discussing, which I brought up, comes in. The everything should be understood in terms of Satipatthana. That is the meaning. So whatever one is reading, anywhere in the Tipitaka or even not in the Tipitaka, it can be understood in terms of Satipatthana, even the fashion magazine.
But a fashion magazine is not an instruction.
Cheese
picks. A fashion magazine is not an instruction about Satipatthana. That was the debate, right?
No. But the moment of picking it up is conditioned.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I mean, everything is nama and rupa, and concepts about based on nama and rupa.
Until then, no doubt about nama and rupa anymore.
But going back to the debate was originally about whether it's an instruction about Satipatthana, but this fashion magazine is never an instruction.
But anything taught by the Buddha, or in fact, Kunsuchi was saying any Aryan disciple, because there is no wrong understanding of reality. So even if it's about toothpicks or gambling, was I think the example you gave.
Toothpicks.
Or an instruction on gambling.
Yes.
In fact, it is to be understood in the light of Satipatthana for those who can, for those who have developed understanding.
But I still think it's not directly an instruction. I mean, of course, For the Arya disciple, when he hears anything, he knows it's just nama and rupa. But I don't think when the Buddha's telling the monks how to brush their teeth or whatever, or how to make a tooth stick, I still don't see that that's explained Satipatthana, right? It's not.
Well, this came up yesterday, and my understanding was it depended a lot on the listener at the present moment. Did the listener take it as an instruction on how to clean his teeth, or did it he or she at that moment have Satipatthana and know whatever was there at the moment as a reality?
Okay, well, say I tell my driver, please come and pick me up at 10 o'clock, and he has Satipatthana, hypothetically. Nevertheless, my instruction is still about trying to pick me up. It's not about Satipatthana, right? Mm-hmm. Now, he may, by conditions, have Satipatthana while he's listening, but it's not me trying to explain Satipatthana. And I think when the Buddha was telling the monks how to make a two-stick,
mm-hmm. he's not telling them how to make
a two-stick, stick, not...
Yeah.
Nevertheless, some of those monks, because of their condition, mm-hmm. because of their accumulations of wisdom, would have had Satipatthana, I agree.
And because it is Buddha-bhachana, and because what the Buddha teaches is about the Satipatthana, in fact, even when he's telling them how to make a two-stick or how to use it, actually, it is to be understood in the light of Satipatthana too. I mean, anything is about citta-cetasika and rupa, even when he's telling them how to make a two-stick. So
this gets a bit harder. This is a bit more debatable, isn't it? I mean, it is. I suppose you can say it's dharma vinaya, because the two-stick.
Anything is dharma.
The two-stick is about vinaya.
You mean that Buddha shouldn't
speak about anything at all?
No, I think he should. I just think it's going a little bit far if we say every word he is an instruction.
I don't think it's an instruction. It's on the part of the listener. Everything can be understood.
Understood. Everything should be understood in the light of.
Well, of course. I know.
We're coming from the Buddha's side. Is that what you're getting at? Like, was he actually saying? Was his meaning?
No, of course. Yesterday, Achan brought up the case of the potter in Pukkusati, the potter himself. The Buddha just greeted him. There was no teaching. Right? Yeah. So the Buddha would say.
Well, then there's a friendly greeting. You know, it's just a friendly greeting.
It's not an instruction.
Is it? Yeah, so. Mm. So that's to be understood what?
Just as a friendly greeting.
Okay, so that's right, right?
Yes.
So it's not. A teaching on Satipatthana at that moment.
No, it's not a
teaching on Satipatthana. It's just a friendly greeting. But that
was the original debate on the list, right? Someone was saying that it was everything was.
No, I think the words were everything is to be understood in the light of Satipatthana.
But as the argument went, it was trying to prove the other way as well. At some point.
Yeah, we can't know what the Buddha's actual intention
was.
We know that the importance of everything he says was a condition for certain people at certain times, some people, to have Satipatthana. That's the whole point. I think we can't know what was in the Buddha's mind at that second.
I know when he talked about two-stick was on his mind.
And he didn't say that do not have Satipatthana at the moment if I'm talking about
Of course. I mean, I can see it as a condition for Satipatthana in the sense that it's part of the Vinaya too.
But didn't we once say that the Buddha was basically, when he was alive after enlightenment, he was basically having Satipatthana all the time. So that practically anything he said was.
He taught Satipatthana, but it didn't mean that he didn't say anything besides Satipatthana at all.
That's exactly what I said.
And when, like Kunsuchin said, it can be a condition for Satipatthana, this is the point. According to the wise attention, the listening, anything one hears or reads, even
the fashion magazine, right, can be a condition.
It's the same.
For sati sampajanya at that moment. That's why it's not, and that's, I think, is Ken's point about whether it's reading a jataka story or anything, it can be a condition for, it's still just cheetah seekers, rupas. So anything can be a condition for satipatthana at this moment.
But Ken's point is also, I think it's a little bit more extreme than that. He said the Buddha never taught conventional anything.
He wouldn't even bother to talk about anything else.
About the weather or the greetings.
He was saying, and so that's a little bit.
What about,
but I agree.
What about Vinaya, about cleaning the bowl?
Yeah.
Put it at the right place.
Right.
And I don't think you can say there's satipatthana all the time, Betty, even in the case of the Buddha. I mean, what about moments of seeing and hearing?
She means during the jhavana process,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, but even during the jhavana processes, I don't think you can say this.
He did what? Lay down the vinaya. So that was instructions to the monks.
So what's the point?
Vinaya.
Yes.
He laid down the vinaya. Yes. Vinaya, which was instructions to the monks.
Yes.
I think
what
is
what they should do and what they should
right.
Yeah.
And
so.
Very nice. We should be better.
That instruction given by the Buddha for two sticks, could you call that vohara or is
vohara?
That the Buddha spoke.
His special way of teaching.
Vahara is sampajana vahara. Oh, vahara is
conventional. The manner of expression to help the others.
So it would have to include manner to help the others at all kinds of kusala, all degrees, all levels.
Vinaya, sudhanga, and vidana.
So Ajahn, that's one of the things I like about Abhidharma and the way you teach it, is it's not to be afraid of concepts at all or anything. I mean, there's nama, there's rupa, and there's concepts based on nama and rupa, basically, in the world. I mean, that covers everything. And so one doesn't have to run away from concepts because it's very natural. That's what the mind does. It forms up concepts. It's just understanding what is concept and what is reality, at least in the beginning. It all makes sense out of life, I think. Yeah.
So what is concept?
Just about everything.
Except object of thinking.
Yeah. Object.
Or your object of thinking.
Mm. And that's not, the point isn't just to try to experience realities, it's to understand when there's concept and when there's reality and what's the difference really.
Like now, visible object.
Not concept about visible object, very naturally.
Anything at all. Learn to understand the nature of visible object as not people, things, beings.
But not try to artificially or
developing understanding. Little by little, by sati itself. It's very hard to eliminate anusaya.
So it's a long path.
Very, very long, depending on understanding.
Funny.
It can be proven in daily life, at the moment of seeing, hearing, thinking, touching, until all citta, nama, dhamma, rupa, only 6 doorways, only 6, but a lot of story about what is seen, heard.
Those stories occur even for the Arya disciple, right? Because that's what the mind does. Just
wrong view.
But no wrong view, yeah.
This is the point.
This is the point, right. concepts keep coming because that's all the mind does.
That's why, without the understanding of reality, how can one see? Reality is not concept.
Yeah. Some of those meditation techniques, of course, they try and stop having concepts. That's their way. They want just to experience reality, so they try and see and touching and so on, but that's
see
artificial.
Okay. Yeah. Programming with the idea of self. Yeah. The fast way.
Yeah.
It's the way to hell.
And that's not the right way. And accumulate that habit for the next life too.
They don't mind. They don't know that it's their own way, not their Buddha's way at all.
Well, it looks a little bit like the Buddha's way in the fact that they're trying to experience the realities that they read about in the Abhidharma, right? So that's why it looks...
with their own thinking.
Mm. This way is much more detached. Just understand without trying to change anything.
From the very beginning, to understand that which has been conditioned now. See, forget all the time about what is appearing, not by anyone, not at one's will. And pass away, already gone completely, never come back at all. Life keeps on going, experiencing, and then go away.
When we say that all dharmas are based on avijja, except for Lokuttara dharmas, so even the highest rupa vachara cittas are based on avijja, the beginning of paticca samuppada, why are not Lokuttara cittas based on avijja too? Because we say, oh, if it wasn't for avijja, there couldn't be arupa vachara cittas, for example. Why can't we say if there wasn't any avijja to start life as a condition, there couldn't be any Lokuttara cittas?
Does Lokuttara bring more life?
No, it doesn't bring more life. But can we not say avijja is still upanisya paccaya, is still
it,
a condition?
It takes avijja out little by little until there is no avijja at all.
So what you mean is by the time that, let's say, talk about the Lokuttara cittas of the Sotapanna, the Margampala cittas of the Sotapanna, couldn't one say that avijja by upanisya paccaya is still a condition
for
those cittas?
Yes, but not Lokuttara citta.
But those are Lokuttara cittas.
Of seeing, hearing, smelling, thinking, as avijja isn't eradicated completely yet.
I see. So when we talk about the Lokuttara cittas of the Sotapanna, can one say that so some avijja is eradicated, but not all avijja? So the avijja that is eradicated at that point is no longer upanisya paccaya, but the other avijja is still decisive support, and then only for the arahat, no avijja is upanisya paccaya. Okay, thank you.